Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis, coming to you from Tehran. I'm Marzieh Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, attacks on African Americans have been on the rise across the United States. Is the life of an African American considered less than his white counterpart in the United States? Most Americans would probably answer no to this question based on what they've been told by the U.S. Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal. However, is it really the case? From the beginning, when the Independence document was declared, the all men was actually referring to white men, not black men, and not women at all. So how much of a difference is there really in the lives of the average black and white person in today's United States?
Anger is growing in the U.S. over the recent killing of African Americans, mostly by police. At least a dozen Americans from the black community have been shot since November. Many call the killings premeditated, which sparks fresh concerns about racial profiling in the U.S. Among those killed are 19-year-old Kendrick McDade, killed by police in California in March, 18-year-old Jamarlee Graham, killed by police in his grandmother's home in February, Manuel Loggins Jr., a former Marine killed by Orange County police in front of his daughters also in February, Kenneth Chamberlain, also a former Marine killed in November 2011 by police in New York. Several African Americans were also shot in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Friday. Three of them have died. Another victim of attacks on African Americans is Trayvon Martin. The 17-year-old was killed by self-appointed neighborhood watch captain George Zimmerman in Florida. Thousands and thousands of people have spilled onto the streets across the U.S. to condemn the murder. The protesters are calling for Zimmerman to be put on trial. The U.S. judicial system's lack of will to decisively deal with the murder of black Americans and the police involvement in most of these killings have cast serious doubts on the country's claims that it is one of the world's biggest advocates of human rights.
Okay, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from London, activist, writer, broadcaster, Mr. Darcus Howe. From Philadelphia, political analyst and writer, Mr. Lynn Denn. And from Washington, member of Dignity, Human Rights and Peace Organization, Dr. Randy Shore. Thank you all for being with us. Well, I'd like to start it off in Washington with Dr. Short. Now, there are some experts who say that there's a concerted effort to control and marginalize black America. There have been 12 black Americans shot in 4 months, and 9 of them have been killed. Your take?
Well, you know, the number 12 is the number that is most accessible. The number ranges as high as in the 30s. That was announced yesterday at the Occupy Washington Million Hoodie March, just blocks from the White House.
Are you saying that there have been 30? Let me just jump in here. Are you saying that there have been 30 African Americans that have been shot in this four-month period of time, Dr. Short?
Above 30 was what was reported yesterday. Just in terms of naming all of them, I don't have that. And these are the highly publicized ones. We have in Mississippi, there's still people that are hung in jails there. So, you know, and how many people die in prison? So it's really the numbers that we hear about are what's reported in the media. If you don't have access to the police records in various states, we really don't know, but we know it's considerable and it's too many. The United States has a real problem. The government's own Kerner Commission study in 1968 said America was two countries, black and white, separate and unequal. Let us assume that they're not going to tolerate a black nation, in as much as African Americans are a national minority group of 50 to 60 million people. So we are oppressed. The Constitution cites us as three-fifths human beings. It's still there. They haven't moved it. The national anthem's third stanza alludes to killing blacks in our national song. We have a major problem.
Okay, let me turn to London and get Mr. Howe in on this. I want everybody to equally participate in the discussion. Now, Mr. Howe, Tell me, at this point in time, in 2012, why do you think that we're still seeing such a difference in the way that blacks and whites are treated? Now, we're talking about the United States, but of course I know that you live in the United Kingdom and not so much difference. But of course, focusing now on the United States, why do we still see such a difference?
There is a huge global crisis, an economic crisis. An economic crisis breeds social crises. There's a competition for little smacks of food that's going, competition for jobs that are going. And to get the leap upon us, the focus that we are black and we are worth nothing, we should be centered. We are focused upon as one of the reasons why this economic crisis and the pauperization of ordinary people marches on in England. That scapegoat business has been going on for considerable time. I also want to add, we are keeping our eyes very closely at what is happening and on what is happening in America, because it is from America we got the clarification and we got the strength to tackle racism in the way that we are tackling it all. And I always remember a quote from W.E.B. Du Bois, the greatest black historian: we will enter modern society on the basis of absolute equality with any white man, or we will not enter at all. This is the last great battle of the West. I believe that, and as it unfolds, it seems clearer and clearer to me.
All right, let me turn to Philadelphia, Mr. Lynn Den. Now, in New York, let's take some particular cases, because there are so many unbelievable statistics when I was researching this subject. But let's look at New York alone. There is still the stop and frisk law, which gives the police the right to stop and search anyone that they may deem suspicious. 85% of those stopped are people of color, and only 7% of those stopped were ultimately arrested. What exactly does this mean? How are they allowed to just stop people at random? And at the end, obviously, the majority of them have not even committed a crime.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because one of the issues that we should address here is the increasing abuse of civil liberties in the United States. The police is becoming more militarized. They're becoming more out of control because of the laws. You can be arrested for any reason at all or for no reason at all, and you have no rights to a trial. It can be strip search, etc. So this erosion of civil liberties is a very serious issue, and it's affecting the black community the most, because the black community is always the most vulnerable to any kind of abuses. Also, I want to backtrack a little bit and say that, you know, in any multicultural society, you're going to have racial issues. You're going to have racial tensions. So the big question here is, are things improving? Is the situation improving? And paradoxically, with the election of Obama, things have actually gotten worse, because many people are using the Obama presidency to become even more racist, because they think that he's a black president, when in fact he's not a black president at all. And to people who defend him, they also defending him because he happens to be a black man. But Obama is not a black president. He does nothing for the black community. In fact, he does nothing for poor people. In fact, he does nothing for anybody. He does nothing for the American people. So it is sad that the first black president that we have is exacerbating the racial tension in this country.
Okay, Dr. Short, looking at some more of the statistics, The United States, of course, have the most prisoners incarcerated than anywhere else in the world. Over 2 million people are locked up, with 1 million of them being African American. One in every 10 black males will go to prison. Tell me your take on that. Perhaps there are some that are looking at this and saying that black Americans are committing more crimes. What would you say about those statistics?
Well, African Americans are targeted. You can't afford legal representation, so if you are charges are brought against you, the whole legal system is a fraud. People are encouraged to plead. So the whole thing now is just cop a plea. If you get arrested, you can't afford a lawyer. If you go up against them, they'll give you more time. So it makes more sense to say, yes, I did it. So you get a year instead of 20 years. So in reality, we have a system that seeks out to imprison us. The war on drugs, which was created right around the end of the civil rights movement to erode the progress that blacks made by flooding drugs into the country and then passing stringent laws against drugs that target blacks. In addition to that, if you don't have legal defense, even if you're innocent of these things, you go to jail. On top of that, the fastest growing industries in this country, including companies like Microsoft, are related to black prisoners making products for multinational Fortune 500 companies. So it's really new slavery. This so-called country that's free, that promotes freedom and democracy abroad with a multiracial president, it's experiencing booms in slavery where people are incarcerated. And this is deliberate, as well as removing black men from the workforce. It's a way to disturb our entrance into the workforce so more whites and others can work, as well as the fact that there's been an issue where people want to destroy us as a population. There's a film called Mayafa 21 that you can look. It's called Black Holocaust on YouTube. People should look it up. There is a systematic effort to destroy the black family and to destroy our community. And they're aware of it, and we need to be honest about it. So if you remove these men from their homes and from their communities, the communities suffer. So they're making a vicious cycle in which people can't escape, calling us the criminals while violating every international standard of human rights.
Okay, well, let me turn back to London. Mr. Howe, your take on what Dr. Short has just said. Do you think that there is a systematic practice of trying to remove the African-American male from the society, or at least contain him?
As I said before, we have looked to America to offer a leadership on the question of race in a European context. They have done it in an American context. I have met and spoken to, when he was alive, Malcolm X. Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture lived two streets away from me in Trinidad. So it is not anything new that I'm coming to. And the last 50 years since I've lived in this country, this issue of police, this issue of the South of America, the issue of execution of blacks, both in America and here. We linked organizations between the Black Panthers in London and the Black Panthers in the United States. I visited conferences, a huge one in upstate New York about Malcolm X. So these things are not separate. We have a sense of what is happening to each other. And there is this remarkable word, solidarity. Well, we have confronted the American embassy several times over the years.
Mr. Howe, you talked about Malcolm X, you talked about Stokely Carmichael, and you've mentioned names, the people that, of course, in the 60s, that they talked about racism and stood up for it. We're talking now 2012. We still haven't progressed at all. How much progression has there been in the rights of the minority, specifically the African American, in the United States?
The fact that it continues does not necessarily mean we haven't progressed. What has increased tremendously is our capacity and skill to broadcast our issues across the world, to fight across the world, to challenge the structure of power in major cities internationally, from South Africa to Washington. I believe we are on the move. I'm not going to sit here, please, and weep and shed a tear saying, oh, nothing has happened. I haven't seen such a huge leap in the context of blacks as in the United States.
Okay.
And you get a more intense battle when you stand up firmer. The battle intensifies. But I'm not going to accept that we are now, nothing has changed. That is not true.
Okay.
If nothing has changed,
well, let me turn back to Philadelphia and get Mr. Lin Den on in this. Mr. Howe says that he's not going to say that things haven't changed. I want to read a few statistics off, a few more. An estimated 5.3 million Americans are denied the right to vote based on past felony conviction, and of course, most of these being African American men. More black men are in prison today than were enslaved in 1850. We have employment disparities, pay disparities, and even there are reports of African American children being aborted at alarming rates. Reports say that Planned Parenthood have killed more black babies than the Ku Klux Klan, the racist white group, of course, which murdered black people years ago. Your take on some of these statistics, Mr. Den?
Well, all those statistics you just cited are very alarming, but the factors are varied. So it would take a while to dissect exactly what role institutional racism plays in all that. I would say that, I live in a city that has a black mayor, that has three black mayors in recent history. This could not have happened in the 60s. So superficially, there is some improvement. But then again, like you say, you know, the situation in the black community is very serious and is not encouraging. I would like to rephrase this in as a question of class, okay? I think the media would like to distract us by scapegoating, by dividing us, by, pitting us black against white, non-Muslims versus Muslim, etc. But I think the more serious issue is class. And I think that all Americans are being abused and exploited, eventually, hopefully, we can see beyond black and white or yellow or whatever, and see that we are being abused by the same government.
Okay, Dr. Short, your take on that. Both our guests in London and in Philadelphia talk about improvements in general. I want your take on that, you being an African-American male in the United States. How far has the struggle come? Have we seen major gains since the 60s, since the civil rights struggles, since Dr. Martin Luther King's, Malcolm X, major time when they were after civil rights? How far have the African Americans come?
I think we've made steps forward, and as we've made steps forward, they've moved the goalpost. They changed the rules of the game. You can get a black president in the White House, and you can feel good about that, but the power of the president to act, or the will, or the forces arrayed against him, would be greater than if it were a white president like Johnson. Blacks may enter college, but just go to the EEOC website. 97% of people who make racial complaints that are black are tossed out, which means that if you're the victim of racial discrimination and you have the time to get a lawyer and you file, you only have a 3% chance of getting beyond a submission. So laws that were passed in the 60s that give us the appearance of the facade of protection really don't exist. And there are blacks who are in high positions all over the country in the EEOC that make certain that systematic racism against blacks is protected. So the rules of the game have changed, but we're still at the bottom. We still die younger. We still are foreclosed in greater numbers. We're still more unemployed. We're still more frequently killed by police. We're still suffering way out of proportion to our numbers. And so in some ways, for maybe the upper third of blacks, they're doing okay, but the bottom two-thirds are fighting for their lives. So, and the black middle class has been shrinking, and in reality, the wage of black people in this country, and Americans in general, but for black men, the wage level hasn't really increased in 40 years. So if you're not making more money, how is that progress? If you're not getting married, and if we abort 7 out of 10 of our children, then the 70% of the children that are born without a father, we're in serious trouble. Black folks who are doing well are very quick to universalize their individual success without understanding that as a people, we are not making progress. We're falling behind. And this country is resegregating. We have court cases where they're looking at getting rid of affirmative action. We're looking at the Voting Rights Act possibly being knocked out. And we're also looking at, these laws, the NDAA, so where you can arrest anyone. We are in a crisis situation, and it's pointless to talk about those who are doing well when so many, the majority, are really having to struggle in this country.
Okay.
And even if they're not aware of it, if they perceive that they're doing well, it doesn't mean that they're doing well.
All right. Mr. Howe, let's look at trying to figure out ways to solutions. What do you think now is the key? What do Americans, or African Americans in particular, have to do at this point to try to get their rights?
You have to fight for it.
What does that
Nobody's
mean, fighting
going
for
to bring it?
It
on. It doesn't mean nobody's going to bring it to you. You have to mobilize the people as they did and marched on Washington some years ago, perhaps 20 times as many people. You have to stand up, say the answer to this is no. You have the right of striking. You have to use weapons of all kind. And that is our attitude here in England. We're not going to back down. We're not going to have a policeman treat us the way they have done, and all the reports are now falling out the dark.
Okay, Mr. Din, your take. I'm sorry, I'm just about out of time. I want to get everyone's perspective. Mr. Din, your take. What has to be done at this point in time?
Well, I think, like I just say, I think we have to see beyond race and look at the class issue, that we are all threatened by the same government. And, you know, things are getting so out of control now. Everything is criminalized now. You can be arrested for just about anything or for no reason at all. We need like a new John Brown to stir things up.
Okay, Dr. Short.
You know, we have to step outside of...
All right, let me switch to Dr. Short. 20 seconds. What's the answer?
We need to unify internationally and have a dual movement inside and outside the United States to solve the issue of the national minorities in the United States, as well as find ways to link up with people of goodwill of all colors, the way Malcolm X wanted us to.
All right. And on that note, I'd like to thank all of my guests. So sorry, I'm out of time. Hopefully we will be covering this subject again. Mr. Darkus Howe in London, Mr. Linden, Philadelphia, Dr. Randy Short in Washington. Thank you all for being with us. And thank you, viewers, for being with us. Join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you so much, and goodbye.